I'm Jennifer, and welcome to the Crew Japan podcast, a weekly podcast where we take you on audio journeys through Japanese culture. Today, we're going to celebrate all things Pokemon. The Pokemon series is celebrating its 25th anniversary. We'll share Pokemon's history of their humble beginnings and how it became the well-known series it is today. We're huge fans of Pokemon here, so we'll also be sharing our memories of Pokemon growing up. So, today we're going to be talking about Pokemon. I'm sure we all love Pokemon, right, everyone?
Yes, Pokemon.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I've actually, you know, been really invested into Pokemon, but I am a lifelong fan, even though I am observing from a little bit further away these days.
Oh, sad face, because, like, Pokemon is, like, life for me. What about you, Doug? Because you and I, Doug, we play Pokemon Go. I've seen you out there.
Yeah, I've been around a bit. I've played all the games, most of the games. Growing up, that was one of the things that got me into Japanese stuff, just because I knew that it came from Japan. So it was kind of a gateway for me. But yeah, I still play a little bit of Pokemon Go here and there.
Good, good.
And, like, I literally have bought my new gaming consoles based on whether there's a Pokemon game coming out. Like, I don't buy it when it comes out. I buy it when the Pokemon game is ready.
Yes, that is perfect. Okay, so we all love Pokemon this much. But do y'all know the story behind it? Because the story is actually pretty interesting how Pokemon even came about.
Bits and pieces, maybe?
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, a little bit.
Same here.
Then let me edumacate y'all about this story. So obviously we know it was created by Satoshi Tajiri. And it's interesting because as a kid, he had a hobby of, you know, collecting bugs and catching bugs. And aww. Yeah, isn't that cute? It's a very popular thing for little children to do in Japan, especially like catching beetles. And
yeah, I've seen that in like animes and stuff.
Yeah, right. And so that's the real. It's not imaginative. It's real. It does exist. And so his childhood really consisted of that. And when he grew up, you know, he really went back in his childhood and thought of that and was like, you know, that's something that's fun and interesting. And then not only that, but at the time, Japan's fascination with capsule toys was growing. Mm. And for those of you who don't know what capsule toys is, it's those gachapon machines where you, like, you put in, I don't know, like a 100 yen coin and you twist it and then a capsule comes out and the toy, it's a mystery. You don't know what it is, but you have to collect them all.
Yeah, and we had those in like our grocery stores growing up, right? Over here, like a similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
Similar, sort of, but mostly a candy in it.
Yeah, and like little stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same sort of energy.
I feel like the ones here were less quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then another thing that really inspired Satoshi was that, you know, as he got older and the Game Boy came out from Nintendo, you know, he really was inspired by the capability that the Game Boy had, which was this link trade, where you can plug in a cable from one Game Boy to another, and you could trade with people. And he was like, wow, they have this capability, but they're not really using it to its full extent. So he was like, I can make a game that'll use it.
He saw that opportunity.
Exactly. And so he was like, I need to partner up with a game developer. And that's when he met a guy named Ken Sugimori, and they created Game Freak together. So Game Freak is the developer, whereas Nintendo was the publisher for Pokemon.
So the original creator is not, he wasn't really a gaming person, or?
Yes and no.
In Matt Ault's book, he actually has a chapter where he talks about Pokemon, right? And in that chapter, he talked about how there's a wave of video games that came from the United States, and the Atari was the chief among those, and cabinet arcade games.
Wow, I've never heard that term.
Yeah, so that's like the physical Pac-Man machine. You go in the place and it has like an arcade, you know? So when Tajiri was a kid, he was actually really obsessed with these American imports of video games, and one of his favorite games as a kid was Space Invaders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that action element.
Yeah, so he did have some experience actually playing games and was a fan of video games. I guess you have to be to start a video game company to some degree.
On some level.
Just to answer that question, he did have some early influences from games like Space Invaders and the other Atari lineup as well.
So is he like an artist?
No, that's Ken Sugimori. Oh. Ken Sugimori was really behind the design of Pokemon.
So cool.
Even though, you know, Tajiri, he created this thing and it sounds great to us right now, but honestly, Nintendo was skeptical of it. They were not all aboard on it. They didn't want to publish it at first. And guess who decided that it was a good idea?
Who?
Grandfather Mario himself, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, so Miyamoto became Tajiri's mentor and, you know, really helped him define the game and to create what we know as Pokemon now.
That is so cool.
Yeah, there's actually a very interesting interview that I came across where Shigeru Miyamoto actually says that he was told at the time that Pokemon would never actually take off. It wouldn't really be something that kids were interested in. So how wrong was that hot take?
Oh my God.
I know. Well, here's the interesting part. Okay, so the game released in 1996 with Red and Green on the Game Boy in Japan. Would you believe me if I said that it did not take off immediately when it released?
Yeah. Well, because like we've said, it's a pretty new concept at this point. Like, no, it's he saw a gap in the market that didn't exist before, and suddenly now there's the thing that exists. I could see it taking a sec for people to be like, holy crap, this is amazing.
I don't know if I could actually believe that. I was born before Pokemon existed, but by the time that it hit the U.S., I was in that first wave of children that were, you know, getting that content, and from the very moment it hit, I was interested.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think another thing too is that just the viral marketing that exists now, like obviously we can't think of it because we were just so used to being inundated from every different angle with like ads or things about games coming up and whatnot. But I wonder how big, if they, especially in the beginning, if there was some doubts within Nintendo's mind, if they really pumped a lot of marketing advertising money into the actual like marketing of the product. I'd be kind of curious to look that up. But yeah, maybe it was a lot of word of mouth advertising after kids started playing the game that really started to, and then having that link trade functionality where, hey, yeah, I can't play this just by myself. I need my buddy over here to play so I can get the other Pokemon from him.
And, you know, I think another thing that really influenced me as a kid and probably y'all as well is by the time it hit the shore of the United States, the anime was already developed.
Exactly.
The card game was already developed. So when we got the product, like you said, Doug, we were inundated from all angles.
Yep.
But when it released in Japan, it released as a video game first without the anime and without the cards.
Oh, so they kind of had to discover that it was a really cool thing first.
Exactly, because like Nigel said, you know, we were blessed that the anime, the card game, and the game itself, the video game, all came out in 1998, all at the same time. Whereas Japan, they released things gradually as it became more popular.
Yeah, like Jen said, all the reports, at least looking at it in retrospect, suggest that Nintendo didn't really know that it would be that profitable. It didn't know that it would really be that popular. In fact, the release of the game actually, and Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, but the release of the game was intended to be a swan song for the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. Because the Game Boy had already kind of lived its life, and there was newer technology that was being created within the game industry that was kind of leaving the Game Boy behind. So
Game Boy Color.
Yeah, eventually they went to the Game Boy Color, but they, when they released Pokemon, because they weren't that sure how it would do with young children, they decided to release it on this platform that was kind of at the end of its life, and it was kind of just a, we'll test it out on here and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And clearly that definitely helped.
Absolutely.
The Game Boy is still, I mean, I guess it's not called that anymore, but you got the Switch now seems like the newest level of Game Boy. Like, yes. I feel like it's progressed into the modern day, possibly because of Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about the US release is that there was a competitor with Pokemon. And I don't know if y'all watched it. I did, because I'm a nerd.
Digimon?
Digimon! Yes! Oh my god.
Oh my god, yes.
I was that like one kid that was watching it.
Yeah, no, I remember Digimon.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is that Digimon could have competed with Pokemon, but Nintendo and Game Freak, well, actually, it's just Nintendo. They were the publishers. Nintendo just ramped up the advertising and the marketing, whereas Digimon didn't have that opportunity to do too much marketing in the US, so it kind of got left behind.
Now, I know Digimon because of its show. Did it also have a game that competed with Pokemon?
Well, eventually they had a game for PlayStation, but it wasn't like a Pokemon game. It was definitely not as organized as a Pokemon game, I find personally. Mm-hmm. And Digimon also had a neat thing where it was kind of like a Tamagotchi, and you could raise your Digimon on the Tamagotchi. But then Pokemon was smart, and they actually had a Pikachu Tamagotchi as well.
Yeah, they were like, ooh, what a great idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, Digimon didn't even have a chance. Pokemon just blew it out the park.
Yeah, and if you really look at it, they're similar, but really they're very different in terms of the concept of the show and the actual, like, I guess, storyline that followed behind Digimon versus Pokemon. It wasn't so much like capture and evolve. It was more like, this is my buddy and we're gonna like just go on adventures.
Exactly. They are two totally different storylines, and that's a lot of people don't realize that, because nostalgia is just kind of blinding them in the eye when it comes to Pokemon, because Pokemon is very, you know, important to a lot of people. It's including myself, and I'm sure to y'all too, but Digimon actually does have a really good storyline. It's a shame that it couldn't be as big as Pokemon was.
The upset kids who wanted Pokemon items for Christmas and got Digimon instead, or vice versa, you know, the poor parents, I'm sure they were so confused.
Oh, I'm sure they were. I mean, they're like, but this is a Pokemon, right? And then all of a sudden you get like an Agumon toy and it's like, no, that's not Pikachu.
That's so funny. I feel like you make a really good point about the games, and like the structure of them are so, it's so straightforward and like calming. Like, I remember the first time I saw somebody play a Pokemon game, it was way late in the game, like Sapphire, I think, once the SP was already out, the Game Boy SP. And I was just like, what is this magic? Because I had seen the anime, and I was like, I can actually raise my own Pokemon and go on a structured journey.
So here's my question for y'all. How did y'all start with Pokemon? Since the US had all three mediums, the game, the cards, and the anime all at once come to the US, what was y'all's first introduction to Pokemon? Because mine was actually the anime, not the game. And then when I realized there was a game, I got the game. Then I realized there was the trading card game, and I was like, ooh, I need that.
My journey into Pokemon is really the exact same. I discovered the anime. I think it aired on probably Cartoon Network at the time.
It was both Cartoon Network and Kids WB.
Kids WB, yeah. So I either watched it on one of those two, and then I ended up discovering there was a card game. I discovered there was a video game. I believe I still have some Pokemon VHS tapes.
Me too. You know, so
it's crazy. I need to, you know, dig those up and find them. But yeah, it was the same journey for me.
Mine was a little different. I actually, I started with the game, and it was because my I was in junior high, like I think eighth grade maybe. I'm pretty sure it was eighth grade. And my cousin, who was like third or fourth grade at the time, had a Game Boy. I didn't have a Game Boy at home. So he had a Game Boy, and like I went over to his house and I'm like, what are you playing? He's like, oh, it's this game called Pokemon. I'm like, all right. Well, I started playing. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. But I didn't have a Game Boy. I didn't have the video game, obviously, so I couldn't play it at home. So my buddy, my other buddy, happened to have it. and he was like really big into it, but he'd already beaten it like two or three times. And he had two Game Boys. One that it didn't, what was it? It was like, it didn't actually like, could you plug Game Boys into the wall? I'm pretty sure you could, right?
Like, no. To charge them?
Or is it only batteries?
It's only batteries.
Okay, so I had like these rechargeable batteries that I could plug into my Game Boy. His Game Boy, like if you turned it off, or like either the game or the Game Boy was jacked up, and if you turned the game off, it couldn't save. So I had to like play the game, and this is the only one I had until I actually got my own Game Boy or version of the game. So I would play, and then I get to like, you know, wherever, be at night or whatever, I'm like, oh god. So I plugged the rechargeable batteries in, and like, just, I couldn't go anywhere. I could only be in my room playing it with like a long extension cord or whatever. So it was stupid, but like, that was my,
sounds like quite an introduction.
Yeah, it was fun, because I'd usually get to like Lavender Town, and that's when I'm like, something would happen and I'd be like, I have to start all over.
Oh my god.
And so eventually I got my own Game Boy Color, actually, and then got that game. You know, I think it was Blue was my first one. Red. My brother got Blue. It was like a Christmas gift. So
that's like me and my sister. Yeah. I got Red and my sister got Blue.
Yeah. So
see, this is why having siblings is awesome.
Yeah, you get both games.
Yeah, that was my introduction. Then eventually, like after playing the game, it was the cartoon, and then, you know, the cards. I mean, I remember being in the high school, like, school bus trading Pokemon cards or whatever. It was back in that day.
I got trouble in school. Oh, yeah. I would bring my Pokemon cards and they'd take it away.
People were getting in trouble. They were selling them. Like, they were taking their lunch money and pooling it up and then selling cards, and then teachers found out and they got in trouble. It was crazy.
Oh my god. I remember, like, I would go to a daycare program, like, that my school had during the breaks that we would have, because it was a French-American school, so they would have just a weird amount of breaks that my parents could not accommodate. And they, there was this girl that also went there that had the Game Boy, and from that day, I saved up my, like, $5 allowance every single week to, like, buy my SP and get the Pokemon game, because I was just so shook, and my parents were not about to buy it for me.
Okay, so I want to tell y'all a little story about the Pokemon cards. I was an avid collector. I had so many good cards, it's not even funny. I don't know if y'all remember, but the local Toys R Us would have, like, these tournaments for Pokemon card game.
I remember that.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, I'm not alone. So, yeah, I would go, and every time you went, you got a free Pokemon card that they would advertise. So I was like, yes, I get to be with other people and get a free Pokemon card. But then life happened, and you grow older, and your parents think that you should not like Pokemon anymore. So
no.
I know, you know what's gonna happen next. So my parents, mostly my mother, she, oh my god, I'm getting emotional. So she heard that my aunt was doing a yard sale. They sold all of my Pokemon cards for 25 cents each.
My heart is breaking.
Ask them how much that a Charizard card goes for on eBay nowadays.
Oh my god, you have no idea how upset I was, Doug. Like, when I tell you I had so many good cards, I am not joking. I had so many good cards. I kept it super nice and pristine in my little binder with all the other cards. I had, like, special Team Rocket cards. I had so much. And just the pain of me knowing that they sold it for 25 cents each just hurts me. And the fact that I'm still a nerd and I still love Pokemon to this day.
Yeah, that's crazy. I would kind of get the same vibe sometimes, like, oh, you're still watching cartoons, you're playing those games or whatever, you're doing that. I'm like, yeah, yeah, well, enjoy it. What's the big deal?
Exactly.
But yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, like I said, I would repeatedly throw that in their face and be like, hey, my friend just sold this Charizard card for $350 on eBay. And, you know, you remember when you sold that and like 2,000 other cards for 25 cents?
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
So cruel.
But it's so funny because, like, as I grew up, like, I still enjoyed Pokemon. And even though they got rid of all my things, like, guys, I'm not joking. Like, I had, like, pillow plushies of Pokemon. I had so many Pokemon items. Like, just everything. Figures and everything. They sold it all. And just to know that they, years later, still see me playing Pokemon games. They know that I play Pokemon Go. They know that I still watch the anime. They know I own the anime on DVD. Like, they know. So, like,
they know what they did.
They know what they did.
Here's a question for you. All right. So, in 1999, the first Pokemon movie comes out in the US. And it's...
I cried.
Oh my God, I was just about to talk about that if nobody else did.
My parents were, thank God, they were some sort of supportive. They took me to the movie theater to watch it, and I cried my little children eyes out. The saddest movie in the world. And if you didn't cry in that movie, you are heartless.
I don't trust you.
So you remember going to see it?
Yes. Oh my God. Because, okay. Yeah. So when you went to the Pokemon movie in theaters, they gave you a free holographic Mew card. Ooh. And yeah, they gave you that when you went into theaters as, like, I guess, like a promo thing. And you just went into theaters and you watched it and you got your little free Pokemon card for it. It was great.
Doug, did you see it? And if so, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw it. And I was going to say, I might have a duplicate of that Mew card somewhere, ancient Mew. Jennifer, so if I could find it ever one day, it's yours.
Oh my God, you are my hero, Doug. You are my hero.
No promises, but I'll look and see what I could find. They're either in my attic, not attic, they're in my closet.
The thought is either all
my parents' house still in a box somewhere. That's the thing. They're either somewhere in a box somewhere or somewhere in a box somewhere in my house or their house. So I don't know where they are, but if I ever find them, you'll be the first one I call. But yeah, I saw that movie. I remember I went to, it was in Lakeside movie theater. I went during the day with my dad because I wanted the card really bad. Because this is around when I did have the cards. And I was like, all right, I don't know why he was off of work, but he was off of work that day. And he took me to go see it because it wasn't going to be at the crowded movie theaters. This was at Lakeside, which is kind of like a smaller theater during the day. So... Yeah, I got my card from him and me. So, yeah.
So your main motivator was to get the card?
Yeah, that was I wanted to see the movie, but it was for the card.
Nice.
I used to go to the Toys R Us ones every once in a while, but the lines used to be crazy going. You had to, like, wait outside in line to get in.
So true.
And all that stuff. Did you guys ever do the Esplanade Mall, like, Nintendo tournaments when they would come in? They would give you Mew, like, loaded into your game if you participated or something.
What? Nah, can't say I have.
Okay, this is for, like, Red and Blue. And maybe, I don't know if Yellow was out yet, but it was, they used to have, like, these traveling tournaments that they would go to all the big shopping malls around the country. And it would be, like, the Nintendo tournament, Pokemon tournament or whatever. And you would compete. And you didn't have to compete. You could just go, and then you bring your game, and they'd plug it into, like, the link cable into your game, and then it would be kind of like the modern day mystery gift.
Yeah.
Pokemon, and you would get Mew, and that was at the time that was the only way you can get Mew, unless you had, like, a Game Shark or Game Genie or something like that for Game Boy.
Oh my God, you know what, I think I remember encountering this way later and being just, like, upset that it was gone. The opportunity was gone.
Yeah, and you know, at that point, we had all tried the surfing within, like, Vermilion City's, like, SSAN area to go to the truck and check the truck, not there. Bill's Garden, not there. You know, all these rumors that were floating around on the internet of how to get Mew in these games, you know, just completely debunked. So that was the only way. Legitimate way.
The only legitimate way, yeah. What about you, Nigel?
Yeah, what's your story?
So I remember my dad taking my brother and me to see it. I would like to say it was a school day, but I can't quite remember. And I mention that because when it released, the movie actually made $10 million on the opening day. It was that massive.
Insane.
And yeah, so many kids end up actually cutting class to go see the movie. And I believe it was the New York Times that dubbed it the Pokeflu.
So actually, if I'm not misremembering, I believe I actually
skip school myself to go with my dad. So yeah, I had the poke flu.
Did you cut class to see it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't quite remember if I actually cut class to see it. I would like to say that I did, but I don't know if I'm just, you know, romantically remembering the occasion. But yeah, I remember we actually left the theater and we went to Burger King.
I know what you're about
to
say.
What's next?
Uh-oh.
The gold cards.
I remember those.
Wait, hold on. I'm not familiar. I never went to Burger King.
That's all I went to Burger King for.
Oh my God, nobody told me.
Jen, can you explain it?
Yeah. So I'll explain it. So Burger King did this promo where you could obtain these, they were plastic, but it was these gold Pokemon cards, like not legit cards, but like
actual trading cards. They were like like a different thing.
yeah, definitely not the trading card. It was just it's kind of, think of it as like a Pokemon card figure, I guess you could say. And it came in like in this huge Pokeball as like a case. It was so nice. Oh my God, my mom sold those too.
Wow. First of all, boo. Second of all, I can't believe I never knew. That's wow. Yeah,
it's so, I thought until recently, I thought, you know, wow, I have this gold Pikachu card from 1999. This has to be worth a ton of money by now. Turns out it's not.
No. So,
I guess it being from Burger King, you know.
Surprise, surprise, right? You go look on eBay and you're like, oh yeah, this has got to be worth something. This ultra rare collectible. And then you go look and it's like, no, like you can sell the set for like $5.
Well, if y'all are into the promo items for the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, McDonald's is giving out Pokemon cards, like official trading card game Pokemon cards in the Happy Meals.
Now that's fancy.
I went to a couple the first day or second day, and a lot of places still didn't have it, but only one did that was not too far from my house. And they had a limit of, I want to say, couple per person. Like they were limiting people because I think there are articles popping up of people going and buying up like stacks of them at McDonald's and then putting them up full sets on eBay.
So one of the things that I want to talk about before we end this episode is our faves with the Pokemon series. Yes, I'm super excited. I want to know everyone's faves. So first I want to know, what's your favorite Pokemon? And this can be from any generation of Pokemon that's out right now. What is your favorite Pokemon?
I'm going to go with Vulpix and Ninetales are it for me.
I can totally see it.
Oh my God, Maddie, you and I are soulmates. Vulpix is my favorite too.
Stop. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, dude. I freaking love Vulpix.
Okay, yes, because like, here's the thing. My last name is Fox, and like Vulpix is the fox Pokemon. And just over the years, that has always... Oh, and my close second though is Scyther. I don't know if y'all... love Scyther, like
be cool.
I
be cool.
Do, but that's a cool one. But Vulpix by far takes the cake, and like Ninetales equally so. They're just like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah,
because you know?
Maddie, I'm like if I had to be a gym leader, I would be a fire type gym leader because I just love fire type Pokemon. And so Vulpix would be like definitely like my main one. I love Vulpix to death. And I don't know if y'all ever played Pokemon Snap. Have y'all?
No, I never did.
Yeah, I actually did.
Okay, Nigel, then you'll know what I'm talking about. The lava level where there's a ton of Vulpixes in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I would use all of my film to just take pictures of Vulpix.
Amazing.
There's a new one coming out.
I know. I'm so excited. April 24th. Guess who's going to get the game? This girl right here.
It looks amazing.
What about you, Nigel? What's your favorite?
I'm not as familiar with the newer generations.
Okay,
that's fine.
Fair.
No shame in that.
From the older generations that I really, you know, kept up with, my favorite Pokemon was Jirachi.
Ooh!
Yes! I loved that movie, too. The Jirachi Wishmaker.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That was a really good one.
And then Lucario.
Ooh, okay. Yes! Lucario is such a good one, too. That steel and fighting is so powerful.
Yeah, Lucario is definitely pretty dope. I actually remember using him in the game. He was in my party, so he was one of my faves. I would say, for me, my favorite was Electivire.
Yeah.
So Electabuzz's evolution, he kind of looked like a badass. So that's probably my favorite. There's another one that came out in the later generation called Darmanitan, who also I like. It's like kind of like a Daruma. Oh. Is like the his like base form, and then Darmanitan's like the evolution. So I think he looks pretty cool.
Well, now I'm curious because you mentioned non-generation one Pokemon. So now I want to kind of bring this up too. What's y'all's favorite Pokemon game generation?
By far, Sapphire and Ruby.
Maddie, you and I, we're on the same wavelength, girl. Ruby and Sapphire, third gen, is my jam.
Same. It's because it's the one I started with. Like, that, it's pretty straightforward for me, but like...
See, that's weird for me because I started with Gen 1. So you would think I would be, like, the dedicated Gen 1-er.
Yeah.
But I actually really love the story and the villains from Gen 3. I think they're just so dynamic and so unique. And then not only that, but the gaming aspect of Gen 3 just changed Pokemon forever. I know people say Gen 4 did it, but honestly, it was Gen 3 that did it, and I'm not going to go back by my word.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Yeah, because, like, I did go back and play the other generations, and, like, I in the newer generations too, and just there's nothing that quite compares to like the music and like the feel and the Pokemon selection that Hoenn had, you know?
Same. Yes, I agree totally.
I am not going to break with tradition. Gen 3 was 100% my favorite generation.
And no way. That's so fun.
Think about it. You have Ruby, Sapphire, I believe Leaf Green and Fire Red as well.
Oh, yeah, they're part of Gen 3. They have the same game mechanics as Ruby, right, and Sapphire and Emerald.
Right. But then on top of that, I mean, come on. You had Pokemon Colosseum.
I forgot about those.
Nice. Going with those side games. I love it.
Absolute gems. I actually still have those games.
I do too. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I have them too on my GameCube.
Oh man. Oh goodness. I completely forgot about those two. Colosseum was freaking awesome.
And they've just been collecting dust in the corner. And now that we're talking about it, I'm like, man, I gotta replay those.
That's tough. I'll probably say. Probably say Gold and Silver, because that's the first game that I owned a Game Boy and owned the game. Like, I borrowed Red and Blue from a friend and my cousin, and I didn't have a Game Boy at the time, so it wasn't really mine, you know. And I had that weird save issue where I had to, like, plug, you know, either plug it in or charge it or keep it alive. I don't, you know, it was kind of a weird save problem. So Gold and Silver was what I was really excited for when it came out. I had really been anxious about it. But, you know, that would probably be my favorite. Obviously, there's been a lot that's come out since then. The newer ones, they're very different. I guess much more open world, and they're not your typical, like, moving on a tile. They're much more free range. So it's a different feel for the game. So I kind of like those old tile-based RPGs.
No, that's really interesting. I haven't... The GameCube was the only generation where I literally kept all of the games that I had for it, and I still have them to this day, so...
So here's the interesting thing about some of the games. For, like, Nintendo 64, when they had, like, Pokemon Stadium, like, both Pokemon Stadiums, Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans, ruined my house, and so I lost all my games.
No.
But now as an I know it was so upsetting, but now as an adult, I recollected them because I was like, there's no way I can live life without these games.
We evacuated, and I fortunately packed up like almost my entire bedroom. I had a first floor bedroom, and I packed everything up in a box and took everything with me and shoved everything into my Camry. Glad I did, because I ended up getting like probably about a half foot to a foot of water in my bedroom. I was really fortunate that and lucky that I packed my stuff. because I would have lost a lot of it.
Absolutely. And speaking of things that sell for a lot of money these days, GameCube games are flipping expensive.
Yeah,
my husband and I, we collect retro games, and GameCube is one of those retro games systems. Yeah. And so, yeah, I can definitely tell you that, yeah, they're getting a little pricey.
Well, pricey, because I... no, that's a tangent. Never mind. I lost my Animal Crossing game, and it's really expensive.
So that brings up a really interesting point. There was a study done in 2019 which showed it had grossed around $92 billion since its creation. What do y'all think about that?
What an accomplishment. Bravo to the creators, to everyone who worked on the series, whether you worked on the game, the cards, anything.
It's incredible. Pokemon's kind of dipped into all the different types of media. So you got phone apps, you got cartoons, you got movies. So I now that I think about it, much more believable, but I would have thought something Disney related would have been in those shoes.
So my question now is, what are we looking forward to about Pokemon in the future? Where do we see Pokemon continuing to go?
Oh my God. Do I have an answer for you?
hit me with it.
Listen, I've been thinking about this from the beginning, and I've even spoken the words aloud multiple times. Like, I don't want to live in the world where this won't end up happening. I'll make it happen myself if I have to. I'll learn the industry. I'll learn the game things, whatever. I need a virtual Pokemon world, like Sword Art Online, where I can just go and be with Pokemon and see other people who are also playing Pokemon and exist in the and travel between Pokemon regions. And I mean, I might lose myself in that world, but I need it with a burning passion.
I agree with you. I need a little Vulpix by my side coming on adventures with me. I love that.
Oh yeah, it has to be all the things that we have come to know of the Pokemon world in one space that feels real. That's what I need. That's where I hope it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I Pokemon will always have like a really near and dear place in my heart. It's like one of those games, and you know, like, but it was one of the first games that I really got into, and kind of at that age when I was looking to get into those types of things, Pokemon drew me in, and then I was like, oh, it's from Japan, okay, cool, what else, you know, and then kind of went from there. So it was a gateway for me, and so I still sometimes, you know, whenever I have a chance, I sometimes play Pokemon games on my Switch. You know, I play with my son. I play Pokemon Go sometimes. My son loves Pokemon, so you know, I can kind of enjoy that with him, and it's really, really neat to share that, like, a hobby that I had when I was a kid with my own kid. So it's pretty neat. And you know, who knows what's going to come out for Pokemon Day? I don't know if they're going to announce a new series, a remake. You know, who knows? So it'll be interesting to see what they come out with, but I know they always have they like to have some kind of surprise up their sleeve.
Great one. Nigel, what do you think is going to happen with Pokemon in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I like to kind of just be surprised. So I don't really stay involved with the Pokemon news. You know, I don't have my finger on the pulse of what's next. So, you know, in terms of this next few years, there will probably be a new generation. I think it would be very interesting to see if they do it during this February, marking the anniversary. I think for sure, I think one of the things that I would like to see, I don't know if they would necessarily do, but I would like to see a more expansive open world.
Yeah, kind of like an MMO RPG.
Yeah, if they kind of opened it up more to some of the more modern day JRPG or even just RPG games, I think that would be a really interesting move that would also get some of the, particularly the older players who've maybe fallen out of touch with it, back into it.
Yes, okay. Another thing on this point, as far as like the way that Pokemon has developed, I remember when Black and White came out, I was so excited because it seemed like they were kind of recognizing that their audience was growing up, and they seemed to kind of like make the protagonist a little older, and I was like, no way, like, are they really gonna go in this direction? And then, to be totally honest, with Sun and Moon, their newest one, my personal attention for it kind of leveled out. Like, I didn't like that game as much as the rest of them, and I'm hoping that they don't necessarily go all the way that direction, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, because you know, I played every game from each generation, and I agree with you, Maddie. I think I fell off of it at Sun and Moon. I wasn't impressed by the game. I did play Sword and Shield, the newest one, and
See, I haven't even played that one yet. I forgot about that one. Oh my goodness.
Well then,
yeah, see, clearly I am not in the loop anymore.
Well, okay, I'm Jennifer. I'm here alone playing Pokemon.
No, I'll get there eventually for sure.
But yeah, so like I've been playing Sword and Shield, and I even played the DLC, the after story kind of stuff, and it's better than Sun and Moon, but it's still kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have the same feel. Like, even with the one that I would say was probably my last Pokemon game that I enjoyed, which was X and Y.
Yes, I love
it. Yeah, it was so good, so good. And you know, just something about the jump from X and Y to Sun and Moon, the games haven't been the same. And I'm also gonna comment that the animes haven't been the same. They changed the animation style, and then I feel like between X and Y and Sun and Moon anime, they went and changed almost like a reset for Ash Ketchum.
Yeah. Definitely. And it really, to me, it strikes me as they're looking to re-engage the younger audience. Like you said, like a reset for the younglings today.
Exactly. Which is why I feel people from our generation who started off with maybe Gen 1, 2, or 3, we're not going to be as connected with the anime or maybe even the games too. Because I feel like they pressed a reset button. Because even in the anime right now, Pokemon Journeys, which deals with Sword and Shield, the game, you know, they have this new character called Go, and there's rumors that, you know, Nintendo and Pokemon Company, they're getting ready to maybe make Go the main character and just have Ash here on the side, because that's kind of what it feels like.
Ash
now
is retiring.
I don't know about retiring, but he's definitely not the focus as much anymore. He's sharing the spotlight now. So I feel like there's a change coming. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that there's a missed opportunity if we're not addressing the fact that there are people like us who would definitely blow money to continue that Pokemon feeling, you know, that we had.
I still throw money at the industry
exactly.
For Pokemon. So.
And like, I almost wonder if it can't go both directions, you know, have engaging content for kids and for older viewers, listeners.
Maybe. I mean, that's what's happening with this new Pokemon Snap game that they're coming for the Switch. You know, it's a new Pokemon Snap. It's not the same one, but it still gives us, the older generation of Pokemon, you know, the love that we gained from the old Snap game. So,
yeah.
So that's pretty much all we have time for today. But I'm sure all of you will join me in wishing a happy 25th anniversary to Pokemon.
Happy anniversary, Pokemon.
Yes, happy anniversary to Pokemon. I can't wait to celebrate in the month of February. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Crew Japan podcast. In today's episode, we explored the world of Pokemon. We shared the story of its humble beginnings and how it developed into the famous generational series it is today. This week, reminisce about your time with the Pokemon franchise by going through your card collection or playing one of the series' many games. Share your Pokemon fandom journey with us on our social media at Crew of Japan Podcast. While you're there, subscribe and let us know how you are enjoying the podcast. And that's it for today. Until next time.